Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I expect you're familiar with a saying, where there's life, there's hope. Perhaps you've said it yourself, maybe at the sickbed of a loved one or while experiencing dark moments in your own life. The saying suggests that as long as a person is alive, that there is a chance that their situation can improve. While we have life, we have hope in a better future. I'd suggest that the converse is also true, that where there's hope, there's life. Hope is a powerful thing, isn't it? When we hear stories of survivors, whether survivors of war or natural disasters or medical issues, the common factor is often hope. As long as that person had hope, they were able to cling to life. No matter their hardship, the hope of survival got them through it. But for those who lost hope, death often followed. This is the context into which Ezekiel wrote today's Old Testament reading, and which we will explore in this sermon. Reading to you again some key verses from Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Let's pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Ezekiel was a priest deported from Judea by the Babylonians. In Babylon, he was called to be a prophet to God's people there in exile. While in Babylon, Jerusalem was captured and destroyed. After years of exile, the people despaired over ever returning to the promised land. They lamented, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. The people felt dead, not just recently dead, but long dead. They were not like a body which could maybe be resuscitated, but they were like bones, old, dry bones. An army of bones with no hope of restoration, seemingly abandoned by God. No life and no hope. Have you ever felt like that in your relationship with God? Perhaps you're going through a dry patch in your faith life. You lack spiritual energy or conviction. You struggle to read the Bible or pray. You feel like God has abandoned you. Perhaps you lack hope for the future of Australia or for our church here in Australia. You're concerned at the way society is drifting away from Christian values. You're worried that the church is shrinking and that your loved ones see no need to do anything about it. There seems to be no future for your children or your grandchildren, either inside or outside the church. Or perhaps today you literally feel like you're little more than dried up bones. You're sick, or you're tired, or you're old, or all three of them combined. You feel like your life and your hope is simply draining away. If any of these examples describe you, then I hope that you will take heart from today's reading. From a human perspective, the situation of the Jewish exiles was hopeless. Their nation was destroyed, their cities ruined, their people killed and scattered. Only a remnant of a remnant remained, hundreds of kilometres from home. They were captive of the superpower of the times, with no way to escape, nowhere to run to, and not even a temple to find solace in. But from God's perspective, the people had both life and hope. Life and hope in Him. He illustrated this to Ezekiel by showing him a valley of bones. Son of man, can these bones live? These long dead, dried out bones. Ezekiel probably thought, of course not, but he wisely stuck to, only you know, Lord. And he was then told to prophesy, to speak the word of God to the bones, to prophesy to the breath of God to enter them. To enter them like God's breath first entered Adam when he created humankind. And miraculously, those old, dead, dry bones were clothed with flesh and skin. The breath of God, his Holy Spirit, entered them and they lived. An army of the dead, of long dead bones, was raised to life. In the same way, God promised he would make his people Israel live again. Listen to verses 12 to 14 of our reading. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. Now, that's a nice story and a great illustration, but what does it have to do with us here today? Quite a lot, actually. As church, we share in many of the promises made to Israel. In particular, the promise of God's Holy Spirit was not only given to the people of Israel, but to all Christians. And it was a promise which was fulfilled at Pentecost, and which we continue to receive by virtue of our baptism. As the Apostle Peter declared in his Pentecost Day sermon from Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Now again, that's wonderful news, but still, God's promises can seem a bit insubstantial, can't they? When we feel like a bag of old bones, without life and without hope, how do we know that we can really trust in God's promises? In situations like this, I recommend people look at God's track record, both to the people in the Bible and to us, to his faithful track record in our own lives. We know that God concretely raised the dead bones of Israel. He took that dry, lifeless remnant and restored it into a living nation once again. After 70 years of exile, God opened up the grave of Babylon, brought his people to live once more in the land of Israel. The hope that the people received through Ezekiel's prophecy proved not to be in vain. Their hope in God led to life, restored life in the promised land. It led to the rebuilding of Jerusalem and also of the temple. And 500 years later, God did even more miraculous things through this people. Through the ministry of Jesus, God healed people and even raised them from the dead, as in the case of Lazarus, which we heard in today's gospel reading. Even in our own time, God has done wonderful things. You may remember that on this day 3 years ago, we weren't worshipping here in this building. Instead, we were all locked up at home during the COVID pandemic. At that time, we were surrounded by dire predictions that millions upon millions could die, like in the Spanish flu pandemic a century before. We were warned that it could take years for a vaccine to be developed, if at all. In the meantime, our economy would tank. Now, 3 years later, we're almost back to normal. Certainly the pandemic wasn't easy. People's lives and livelihoods were negatively impacted. Yet the number of deaths was much lower than first feared. And vaccines were produced in record time. And the economy is at least reasonable again. God heard the cries of his people and answered them. It seems like there are no limits to God's power to take dead things and return them to life. Now, even after all these amazing examples, some people are still skeptical about God's capacity to care for or to help his people in their need. And it's true that if all God offered us in this life was more life, that is, more of the same, then our hope would indeed be limited. The people of Israel who returned from Babylon still eventually died. Their bodies were placed in graves, which eventually returned to bones. And presumably Lazarus, despite his amazing resurrection, also died again. One day his body would have been returned to that tomb out of which he came, and the stone laid against the entrance once more, this time for good. And we who have survived COVID or beaten cancer or cheated death in other ways will still one day die. Now, if that were the extent of our life story, then yes, our hope too would be limited. In fact, as St. Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, we should be pitied above all people for hoping in a hopeless hope, for essentially living a lie. But as we will celebrate in 2 weeks' time, that isn't all there is to our life and our hope. Christians don't live a lie. Yes, these bodies will die someday, maybe sooner, maybe later, but they will eventually die and turn to bones and then, with enough time, to dust. But because of the resurrection of Jesus at Easter, we have God's promise that our death will be temporary. We have hope that he will resurrect us like he resurrected our Lord. Just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will also raise us from the dead and give us new bodies which can no longer suffer or die. The Holy Spirit, the breath of God, is God's guarantee that the promise of the resurrection will be fulfilled. The Holy Spirit assures us that those joined to Jesus through baptism never truly die again. In baptism, the Holy Spirit is not simply interested in a temporary resurrection or resuscitation. Those whom he has joined to Christ are already a new creation. Not for nothing do we say in the Creed that the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life. And as the Small Catechism explains, the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one common true faith. That means that he has called and gathered you as individuals and as a group. Your personal hope is not just that you will receive new life in the future when your bodies are resurrected, but your new lives have already started now. And that is indeed good news for those of you going through dry patches in your faith life. God is with you through his Holy Spirit, even when you struggle to see him. His presence is not dependent on your feelings or your level of faith or your capacity to achieve things. It's dependent only on God's promise, and he will never go back on that. In Ezekiel's prophecy, the dry bones couldn't do anything. It was God's Spirit who did everything. And so it is with you too. So if you're lacking spiritual energy or conviction, if you're struggling to hear God's word and respond in prayer, then simply ask. Ask the Holy Spirit to show to you again the truth of what Jesus has done for you. Ask for his power to trust in God's promises and to live as a new creation, full of his new life and new hope. Likewise, if you fear for our society or our church, if you see things or the people you love dying and hope with it, trust that God has everything under control through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who revived the remnant of Israel and returned them to the promised land. The Holy Spirit who gave life to the church at Pentecost and has sustained it through the last 2,000 years. Through his Holy Spirit, God will continue to keep the church alive until Jesus returns at the resurrection of the dead. And because of him, you can have hope. You can have hope even now, where all the statistics tell us that the church is dying. Even now, when you might feel sick or tired or old, when you feel like dry bones. Because what may be impossible for us to do is trivial to a God who raises the dead, who indeed can and has created life from nothing. Where the Holy Spirit brings life, there is our true, unfailing, eternal hope. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.